The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Mr. Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, March 6th, 2018, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, that is AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com, which kicks you over to kvoi.com, and together, we make sure you can hear this program pretty much anywhere that you have Wi-Fi conductivity. You're going to get the Buckmaster Show. Our live line number, 790-2040. Anytime during the hour, you are invited to give us a call. We're going to begin today with Terry Bracey. Terry is our Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs expert. He's one of two dozen fine contributors, folks we are very honored to have as part, a regular part of our program. Mr. Bracey's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents, among other clients, the city of Tucson. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm just great. You might add to that list, we're now representing the Pima College system.
Oh, wonderful.
Very proud of that.
Oh, yes.
We competed for that, and we're very proud to get the award.
Oh, that wonderful to hear. I think very much of Chancellor Lambert and the Pima Community College system, so congratulations on that one.
Well, thank you. They're doing a heck of a job.
Are you excited? And I know the answer to this. It's spring. Hopes spring eternal for all baseball fans.
You bet.
And your team,
baseball season.
Yeah, I mean, you grew up following the Redbirds, St. Louis Cardinals, but now you live in D.C. You follow the Nationals. I'm, of course, a big Cub fan. Both Nats and the Cubs look like they've got a really promising year ahead.
I was looking at the power ratings today, and it showed that the Cubs are ranked the fifth best, the Nationals the third best, and the Diamondbacks the seventh best, which means all of those teams are contenders to go all the way. So it's really going to be a fun year for baseball. It'll be a fun year for Diamondback fans as well.
Yeah, spring training underway, and actually the home opener for a lot of the teams is really less than a month away, and hopefully snow won't be a big issue in some of the cities, especially in the Northeast. Terry, you've been involved with quite a few administrations. As I say in the intro, you worked really with four presidents, but you really have seen White House operations as far back as President Johnson. Have you ever seen anything like the Trump White House?
Well, you know, you hear the a lot of the commentary indicating that this is unique, and yet it's different, and it's extreme, but it is not unique. You know, the nature of this president's management is a style that demands constant internal conflict. He seems to like that, and it is really an especially tough place to work. But let me tell you, when people go out the door, there's a line at the other end of young, ambitious conservatives ready to fill those jobs.
So people do, you know, people still want to work for the White House. They want that on their resume, right?
Well, you hear it's horrible. And, of course, there's nothing you can really do about it if you're in it. But working in the White House it's the most powerful place in the world. Imagine being inside that building when you're talking about policy and world events. A person walks out of a job, you know, at the U of A or in some business, and suddenly there's this enormous leap in power and access and responsibility. I was 31 years old myself as an assistant secretary having lunch with Henry Ford. I mean, that's what it's like. You know, you jump from a high school baseball to the major league. So ambitious young conservatives will trade the angst of the internal warfare for a chance to have a piece of the action. You know, one Democratic commentator said cynically that watching the White House today is like reporting on a civil war in a leper colony. Well, not really. The White House, in every White House that I have been around, the infighting has been intense.
So are there some things about the Trump management style that you do like?
No, I don't like any of the management style. It's his, and it seems to work for him in some ways. I'm not sure it works, but what worries me most about this president is his impulsive decision-making, Bill. He announces decisions on the spot without any knowledge of the consequences, like his sudden decision to fire Director Comey, or, you know, his angry claim that his crowd was bigger than any other inaugural crowd. Responsibly wrong. An announcement of a Muslim ban. All these were made because of his emotions, not reason. And they came back to damage him.
Well, I know as far as the tariffs is concerned, there's a lot of internal fighting going on, at least we're hearing so in Mr. Trump's own administration. Folks did not want to go that route. We had a little bit of a debate here on the program yesterday with Vince Robago and mm-hmm. John Munger mm-hmm. talking about the tariffs, and Munger was defending Trump by saying, well, this is what he said he was going to do on the campaign trail, and this is great because it levels the playing field. So that was what he was saying, and I think he's speaking probably for a lot of the Trump supporters.
Well, maybe so. You know, I really think that this decision, from what I've heard from the inside and whatnot, was really sparked again more by emotions and by the fact that the president, notwithstanding he's president of the United States, still feels that he's never been accepted by the so-called Eastern establishment, you know, the Ivy Leaguers who run Wall Street and own the media, the old wealth. He resents them, particularly when they gang up on him and tell him not to do something. And they were all ganging up and telling him not to do this. Stick with free trade. So Trump impulsively does the opposite. He imposes the tariffs and welcomes a trade war because he said they're so easy to win, and everybody else responds, since when?
Yeah, I'm wondering about Arizona, where we do a lot of exports here, don't we, in Arizona?
Yeah, I'm surprised that John said that because this can't be good for our state. Already this administration is trying to radically rewrite NAFTA, and instead of finding a compromise, we're now turning Mexico and Canada, our neighbors, into potential economic enemies. Already, and John may know this, Arizona's trade is down about 5%, which is damaging. If the U.S., Canada, and Mexico get into a trade war, this could devastate the economy of the American Southwest and Tucson. Trump's impulsive calls for tariffs will help the few at the expense of the many, in my opinion, and that's not even his worst decision.
What was the worst?
Bill, it was his decision to go into the Oval Office, failing to do what other modern presidents have, put his assets in blind trust, and that may be his undoing. Instead, he put his sons in charge of the companies and promised that he wouldn't be involved. Well, no one believes that. Thus, every economic decision he makes, whether it's tariffs or anything else, makes everybody wonder about a conflict of interest. For example, one of the president's informal close advisors, Carl Icahn, last week sold all of his stocks a day before there was an announcement on the steel tariffs. He sold every stock that would be affected by that announcement. Now, how did Carl Icahn know? And then there's the matter of the foreign, I can't pronounce the word, emoluments clause of the Constitution, which forbids a president from accepting the gifts of foreigners while in office. And there it is.
Then there's the whole business about the Trump hotels.
Well, and that's the clause. I mean, are they a gift from, I mean, we hear story after story of foreign governments trying to do business with the Trump businesses, using Trump hotels, and so on. And this is precisely what has gotten his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, right in the focus of the prosecutors. So Kushner is sitting in the White House, and he's still running his own business. And while he's in the White House, he's chasing a $1.2 billion loan to finance his own New York skyscraper, which is about to go under. So he's in the White House chasing a loan, and Russian money may be involved. So now he's going before the special prosecutor, which is looking into Russia's hand in our election. So it's a mess. And what's happening to Kushner ought to be of great concern to President Trump, because he could be just as vulnerable.
All right, Terry Bracey, going to have to run. Thank you, Terry.
My pleasure, Bill. See you next month.
All right. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by my favorite bakery in town. Our new sponsor launched here on March 1st. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve, the owner, and his wife, Sherry, do just such a beautiful job with all those European baked goods. I'm getting hungry right now, even thinking about it. Well, they are open for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go to their website, which you can find a link right at buckmastershow.com, the link to Mona's Danish Bakery. Shelley Fishman's next. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up on Wednesday, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, plus former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley hosts our monthly Your Med segment during the Buckmaster Hour on AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, generally all-round good guy. How are you, Shel?
I'm ready for a war. I'm ready for
You're ready for a trade war? No.
Nope. And I'm ready to build tariff walls.
No, I don't think there aren't many folks that are ready for a trade war, as indicated by the way.
Almost nobody wants a trade war.
I know, as indicated by the way, Wall Street certainly reacted last week, but we did regain a little bit of confidence yesterday. That might have something to do maybe with optimism over Korea.
Well,
that news
broke yesterday, uh-huh. And so it's of course impossible to know how mm-hmm. the supercomputers react to non-digital news, but clearly the pundits were giving some credit for markets' reaction yesterday to the Korean news.
The markets hate volatility. They hate uncertainty.
They hate uncertainty.
Not necessarily.
They react with volatility.
They react with volatility.
Yeah,
the volatility.
And that's what's going on right now. We have shiny objects being thrown around by the administration in every which direction, so it's very difficult to really pinpoint one thing that sets the market off on any one day, because there's so many balls bouncing off the corners and being hit in that pinball machine. But what we are seeing with some consistency is an opinion that says unfocused trade barriers, unfocused tariffs, by which I mean broad-based as opposed to we're going to take a look at that product from that country for a limited period of time. The minute you say, well, 25% for all steel and 10% for all aluminum, the minute you go there, then those balls start ricocheting and you never know what the unintended consequences will be. For instance, the number that's been bandied around tends to be within the range of between 60 and 80 jobs would be affected negatively for every one steel or aluminum job that is affected positively. So, will a particular sector of the steel or aluminum industry benefit from a tariff where there are no exceptions? And let's talk about exceptions in a second. They would, but but the likelihood is somewhere between 60 and 80 times the number of people who would be positively affected would be negatively affected. This comes at a time where there's already significant, let's call it concern, it might even be stronger than that, about the effects on the bond market of the tax reductions and how those tax reductions are going to play through the system in terms of increased prices and the reaction of the Fed, which was, the Fed Chair Powell, his first day out. Well, that was last Tuesday when we had that discussion. And he mis-signaled the markets that day, talking about perhaps more rate increases than he had really intended to indicate.
And the markets
were
reacted,
the markets,
as I recall, big
just
time.
Terribly.
Yeah.
Then Thursday, he kind of corrected himself and said, well, that's not what I really meant. Let's scratch it off to his inexperience, certainly as an economist, but also his newness in the job. But we have all of this concern about inflationary pressures right now. We have pretty much full employment, though you could certainly argue whether it's as robustly full as you'd like it to be. But nevertheless, classical economic theory would indicate that the last thing the economy needs right now is more stimulus, and we're giving it more stimulus. Then we turn around and say, and oh, by the way, we're going to raise the price of everything that uses steel and aluminum. It's a couple of hundredths of a penny per can of soda or can of beer, but that's not the stuff that counts. The stuff that counts is the refrigerators and the tanks and the automobiles and the aircraft that will now be millions of dollars more expensive than their closest competitor, who lives, guess where, in Europe or in Canada. And those are the two economies that are most adversely affected. So this has all of the potential for being very self-destructive of the economy and very upsetting to the markets. And that's why I say, unless this guy Trump is completely oblivious to his own party's opposition and his own economic advisor's opposition, what we'll probably see is some backing off of the across-the-board kind of treatment here.
With exemptions
for Canada. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about the bond market. Is it doing its job in acting as somewhat of a backstop, if you will, to the volatility on the market?
It is. The bond market, though you could argue that it has taken a hit from the potential increase in inflation and in interest rates, what we've seen is, even on some of the really terrible days where we've had high three-digit, low four-digit decreases in the market, we haven't seen that kind of percentage movement downward from bonds. I mean, when you get a bloodbath kind of day, everybody gets a little bit damp. But the bonds have stayed within a range, and they are protecting portfolios. They're not making them immune to downward movement, but they're certainly doing their job of lowering
the
volatility.
They're mitigating the damage.
Thank you for that word. Yes, they're mitigating the damage.
Ways. And again, many people in their portfolios feel the right number, the right percentage of bonds would be. Traditionally, it's been kind of 30% of the portfolio.
In an aggressive portfolio for a person who's in their 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, a 30% bonds, as you get older, the normal models would have you increase that percentage of bonds so that the percentages flip to about 60 or 70% bonds and 30% or 40% risk or equities. Though I must tell you, what we're seeing now from people who are coming up with, let's call it postmodern portfolio theory, is the whole idea that in any 10-year period you look at, from the turn of the 20th century, by that I mean from the 19th to the 20th and to today, if you can live through any downturn, that is, if you can cut back on your spending or if you don't need to use your funds, being more, having a higher propensity for risk in your portfolio will outperform virtually any other investment decision over time. So that says that if you're in your 30s or 40s, you should kind of be ignoring all this volatility and sticking with your guns, which is to say that a portfolio allocation that is heavy on equities is going to produce over time a better result using historical numbers than just about anything else you can do, you know, unless you're a genius and you happen to invent computers or software.
All right, Shelley Fishman, you would be delighted to talk to anybody about their allocation in their portfolio because that's what you do, that's what you enjoy doing, that's what you're good at, and the best place to find you is through...
Absolutely, through your web, through your website,
buckmastershow.com, which has links to all of our fine partners like Shelley Fishman.
And it gives us one advantage, Bill.
What?
We can track who's listening and whether or not this is working.
There you go. Thank you very much, Shelley, and have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The best place to, kind of a starting place, is to go to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will learn about the many recreation opportunities, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and great places to stay. It's only a 3-hour drive, a great place just to kick back in a lovely environment. Again, it's southwestnewmexico.org. Dustin Williams is with us. Mr. Williams is the superintendent of the Pima County Office of Public Instruction. What is the official title?
Pima County School Superintendent's
Office. Pima County School Superintendent's Office, and we are so delighted to have Mr. Williams back with us. It's been too long, and you've been in office now for a little over a year. How would you characterize this first year?
I feel good to be back. I'm glad to be on here with all your listeners. This first year has been nothing but absolutely incredible, a complete learning curve on every angle. God forbid I have the educational background to understand the nuts and bolts of education, but to start to delve into the politics and understand the budgets and start to scratch the surface on all that has been really remarkable. And it's just been, I love it. The challenge is there. I want to be in this office for a really long time.
Well, it helps that you are a teacher. You taught math and some other things, but I mean, you're coming to this from the teacher's viewpoint.
Absolutely. So having the knowledge of what it's like day in and day out to be with a group of unbelievable kids and to help them strive to be the best that they can possibly be, and also have the challenges that it takes to be a teacher, because it is such an incredible job and it takes so much incredible work. You have to be on point for such a long period of time with very, very little breaks. And you're the counselor, you're the parent, you're the teacher, you're the social worker. So many roles that you play as a teacher. And to have that background really relates well to my constituents, but to also the students. So when I come to a school and I visit a campus, I can talk to the students, I can talk to the teachers, and we can have that relationship and that bond because we do the same thing.
Increase in spending went up for the first time, not very much in Arizona classrooms, but it is the first increase, I think, in about 10 years. But we're still near or at the bottom.
That's absolutely right. We're still dead last in the 40s, and that is just something that we all want to change. I mean, my background that found my passion was coaching, and I was a really successful coach. We won a lot of games, and I love that feeling of winning. So that competitive spirit, I want to continue that competitive spirit, and I would love for us to start winning and start getting us somewhere in the rankings of the 30s. Let's get a 3 in front of that in that beginning number, and Let's really start trying to focus on a direction that's going to get us there. First and foremost, for the students. Second, for our teachers and community. And third, for our business community. They're actually reaching out quite a bit lately to me and saying, Dustin, we want to have a better ranking here. We want to stay in the state.
Yeah, because it helps economic development. It doesn't help when you're near the bottom.
Just the whole wraparound. You're absolutely right, Bill. The whole wraparound services that you look at the big picture, education is the common denominator in success. And if we're not leading on that, then really where are we going as a state and what's our direction? What do we want to do? That's the question.
Let's take a quick call. Our friend Jim Kelly joining us. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bill. Hi, Dustin.
How are you, sir? Long time no talk.
I know. Listen, let's talk about school safety for a minute. What can you do as Pima County Superintendent of Public Instruction do to make the classroom safer? And I mean by the use of technology, either card entry or biometric entry into the buildings and the classrooms themselves, as well as putting cameras in the classroom for both the protection of the students and the teachers. Wouldn't an increase in spending on infrastructure, particularly IT infrastructure, make a classroom a heck of a lot safer than a gun?
100% agree with you. It's a phenomenal question. I'm so glad that you asked that. When I first got elected, there was a group called ICSAVE that came to me. His name is Bruce Whitney, and he said, Dustin, I want to be in all the schools, and what I want to do is I want to get the teachers, the principals, the staff, everyone has to know a plan. What is your plan? So we got together with the superintendents. We invited them to our office. We've been really monitoring this relationship with ICSAVE, also with Pima County Emergency Services. There's also a consortium group, and basically it's taking all these entities and constantly asking this question, do we have a plan and are we safe and what do we do? And those are the questions that we have to be asking on daily when you come into the campus, is our kids safe? Second thing, when we talk about the infrastructure of IT, or we just talk about the infrastructure of schools. I recently went out to the Ajo School District, and Superintendent Dooley said, Dustin, the first thing I need you to advocate for is we need a fence. And the fences for schools aren't just the typical chain link fence. You need the wrought iron with the spiky tops, and you got to go around an entire large amount of square footage. And that costs a lot of money. And these schools right now with their budgets are just so strapped. They don't have that. So that is the need that I see, that we really need our leadership at the government level, at the governor's table, to say, hey, how are we going to fund these schools, number one, with stuff like fences around the school? Number two, IT all the way. What are we going to do? So are there key codes? How do we want to make sure that we have a first line of defense and that it's positive, it's active, and it also makes everyone aware and we have plans? It's a very, very important question. I'm really glad you asked that.
I would think lawmakers need to step up to the plate here and really get this thing, this school security, would put the money up to help schools.
The bottom line is we're losing lives. And it's unacceptable.
We have to have that invested in our security of our schools. The settlement apparently has been done in West Virginia. Teachers got 4 to 5% raise. They were out for about a week. You had a meeting with teachers. Teachers are very, very upset here in Arizona. It would probably be hard to do a statewide strike, but I'm sure it's going through the minds of teachers.
It's a conversation that obviously is on the minds of lots of teachers. I mean, the first thing a teacher will tell you, it's just in their spirit and their heart. They'll first start to talk about kids.
Right. They don't want to hurt the kids.
That's right.
By being out of the classroom.
Exactly.
But yes.
You know, they can't afford the rent. They can't afford to get a car. They all have second jobs. They always go back to also the students in the class. They just want to see the services be provided. They're not looking to hit the home run and make hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think the $50,000 mark is where we'd like to shoot for. If we had to go to the national average, which is somewhere around $45,000, $47,000 a year in Arizona, because we have neglected our system for so long, that's going to cost us a cool $1 billion. So in a $10 billion budget, you're looking at about one-tenth of that budget would have to go to education. And with no tax hikes and a poor revenue source, it's a hard scenario for all levels. And I'd really like to see that change.
Dustin Williams has been our guest. Dustin heads up Pima County. He is the Pima County Superintendent of Schools, and there are 17 districts, public schools, that are in your jurisdiction that are in the portfolio. You also have some private schools, right?
Yeah, we work with private schools, charter schools, and the homeschool community. We got about 150,000 amazing kids that are in Pima County.
A lot of kids.
Yeah, and we just want to make sure that we are providing them the best possible education they can get, and then advocate the best that we can.
And you lobby as well. You know, I think the lawmakers, getting back to what Jim Kelly asked, this school security thing has to be pushed to the top of the agenda. It has to be.
We just can't lose lives. I mean, these are precious human beings. They're children, and we have to figure out every angle possible to make sure that our students are safe.
All right, Dustin, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good seeing you. We won't let it go a year the next time. We'll get you back here sooner.
I would like to be back. Absolutely.
Thank you
for this opportunity. One last thing. There
go
is
ahead.
A plug.
Go ahead.
March 7th, which is tomorrow, is going to be Wear Red to Support Ed.
Oh, wear red to support education.
Yeah, so everyone out in Pima County, let's show our support for education and put on something red. Let's do that together and build this community.
Thank you very much.
All right, Bill.
One of our fine sponsors is Green Things. Dustin, I don't know if you and your family do any gardening.
We try.
Yeah.
We try.
But Green Things is the place to go. 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Go to the website. They've got all the information about all of their free workshops, which usually get underway Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Green Things. Be right back.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer Lives On. What a great show that is going to be. Thursday, March the 8th. So that's coming up in a couple of nights at the Fox. Then Wednesday, the 14th of March, the Fox Tucson Theater presents Classic Albums Live. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band celebrating, I can't believe it, 50th anniversary of the Beatles classic. I remember when that first came out, which includes all the big hits, When I'm 64, with a little help from my friends, on and on. But it's really going to be a note-for-note, cut-for-cut performance. To view the full Fox Theater schedule, including Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer Lives On, Thursday, March 8th, an evening of music and comedy with Mark Lowry. On Friday, March 9th, and the Classic Albums Live, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band on March 14th. Visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now the longtime arts writer for the Tucson Weekly. She's also the author of two very, very successful books. She is Margaret Regan. How are you, Margaret?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Lots of people very excited about the 10th already, 10 years of the Tucson Festival of Books. And you interviewed one of the probably more well-known authors that will be taking part in the book festival.
Yeah, well, he's getting well-known. He's a young author. His name is Francisco Cantu. He's just 32 years old, and he's from Tucson. And he has written a pretty harrowing memoir about being a Border Patrol agent for 4 years here in the borderlands.
Huh. And what is his book?
His book is called When the Line Becomes a River. It's about, I think that river is probably a reference to the Rio Grande, because mm-hmm. he was a Border Patrol agent in Texas and also in Arizona and a little bit in New Mexico. He's an interesting guy. I mean, he was raised in Arizona. He went to college at American University, and he studied international relations with a real focus on the border. And as a young man of 23, he decided that his best shot at really learning about the border and finding out what was really happening and finding answers to some of the many questions we all have about the border and immigration, he decided to enlist as a Border Patrol agent. And he's a, Mexican-American man. His grandfather was an immigrant from Mexico, and he speaks Spanish. So he was in an interesting position in the Border Patrol, and his idea was that he would provide compassion and behave well at all times in the Border Patrol. But he saw a lot of really terrible things, which he gives, firsthand reporting accounts of the Border Patrol destroying food provisions, slashing water bottles in the desert, which, you know, can be death-causing, really. If, you know, we've seen a lot of this lately. No More Deaths has a widely circulated video that just came out a month or two ago of the Border Patrol slashing water bottles and dumping the contents in the desert. So this young man, Cantu, witnessed all this and wrote about it. But while he was there, he started feeling terrible about it and guilty that he was going to be a man of honor and not do those things, which are, in fact, against Border Patrol policy, but yeah. He says they're widely practiced. He couldn't stand it anymore. He started having nightmares about the people he was sending back. You know, he'd been warned in Border Patrol training school that there were going to be all these vicious cartel drug dealers roaming the deserts, and what he found were desperately poor people from Oaxaca wandering the wilderness. He still has terrible feelings about it. He found a woman who's 6 months pregnant wandering in the desert, and he, you know, did his job. He never, you know, violated the terms of his position, and he helped to deport all these people. So he's written the book in a kind of regret about his part in really harming so many people.
And he's going to be taking part in a couple of panels, correct?
Yeah, he is. He's going to be with Phil Caputo, who you may know lives part-time in Arizona. Yeah, and he's a very prolific author. Gosh, he has a new novel out called Sunrise by Sin, which is about, I think it's a borderlands romance, and there's a priest in it. And so he and Cantu are going to be in a panel called Lives on the Border. And then they also have him in Cantu in a panel on storm and stress about how climate change is having an impact on immigration. So he'll be busy.
Caputo, I believe, is a Pulitzer Prize winner. So, I mean, he's
absolutely
had a great career. Any other authors that you're not taking part this year, are you?
No, I'm not in it. I'm so disappointed.
Oh, okay. but others that you would like to call our attention to?
Yeah, I would. I mean, a lot of the big names have, you know, been widely publicized, but I think it's very exciting that we have a strong cadre of authors from Tucson whose work is, you know, being published by national publishers, and they're going to be here in the book festival. A young woman named Julian Cantor, who's doing great in her career. She's like Cantu, by the way. Julian Cantor is a graduate of the U of A. Master's degree in creative writing. They've produced a lot of very successful writers. So Jillian writes historical novels, and I read her last one that came out in the past year called The Lost Letter. Really interesting World War II story about Jews in hiding in Austria, but it's a multi-generational story. Like, it goes back and forth between who turn out to be the descendants of the people that she's writing about during the Holocaust, people in Los Angeles, and a young woman who makes a connection with that family story. Very well crafted. And Jillian has already finished her next book, which would be her fourth novel in this series. And she's also done a lot of children's books, too. And she's just in her 30s. She's very accomplished.
And she'll be there 11:30 Saturday morning if folks want to see her.
Yeah.
And then and so I think also Sunday afternoon at 2:30. We also have Gregory McAmee is going to be there, and I interviewed him about his really critically acclaimed book about food, Southwestern-themed food, tortillas, Tichuan, and T-bones, a food history of the Southwest.
Right. And did you even know that word before you saw that book?
I did not. I had to look it up. It's something to do with wine from the Apache Nation, I believe.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I haven't read it. I have it here on my shelf.
It's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, Greg is an extremely prolific Tucson author. I think in his resume, he says he's written 40 books.
Oh, my goodness.
And in an interview he did with The Star, he said right now he's got 3 books under contract, and he has another 10 in mind that he would like to write. So he's really good at, you know, really getting to the heart of things in Southwest literature.
Tom Miller will be appearing as well. A couple of his books, Revenge of the Saguaro and On the Border. Tom's going to be taking part in an event at 2:30 Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and by the way, he has a brand new book, too, Cuba, Hot and Cold, which is a very nice book just recently published by the U of A Press. It's, you know, he's really good at finding sort of the small story. His wife is Cuban, and he spends a lot of time in Cuba. And he has all these wonderful stories about, you know, meet people that he's met through various means. In fact, the Star ran an excerpt from this book about a family and a musical instrument. The young daughter in the family was an excellent musician. And Tom, I can't remember what instrument it was, but Tom had played that instrument in high school.
I recall that.
and somehow he manages. And it's quite a good instrument, and he makes connections with this family and gives this instrument to this young, blossoming teenage musician and goes to a concert in Cuba to play. So, yeah.
Margaret, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much. All right, coming up, to view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule, they've got Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer Lives On at the Fox Thursday night, and an evening of music and comedy with Mark Lowry, comedian, Friday, March the 9th, and classics albums live, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, that's March 14th. Visit the FoxTucson.com website. A lot of great shows at the Fox Theater coming up. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They'll be together from 4 to 6 this afternoon. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.